Welcome to our church. If you're a first-time guest, thanks you for coming to our church on a Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. This is going to be a different kind of Sunday, meaning what you see behind me is not our norm, but we wanted to do something special with the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's. And I think that what we are about to do is very, very good. What we're about to do is a good thing. I have been looking forward to this for weeks, and I think it's good that we share our stories of what God is doing in our lives with each other. To me, it sounds, or it seems, or it feels very first century new Christians-like. Meaning when they gathered week after week and we didn't have beautiful buildings and sound systems and lighting and a band and all that we have, when they were just gathering in people's homes or gathering in the courtyards or gathering outside the temple or wherever they gathered, there was probably a whole lot of, hey, let me tell you what God did in my life this week. Hey, what's God doing in your life? And there was probably a whole lot of sharing. And so for us doing this, I think is a good thing. And my hope is, as you hear the stories of these friends behind me, there's something in your heart that is going to have your faith built up. It'll be strengthened that somehow between the music, the worship, all that's happened today, you go home today going, I have reaffirmed my trust and my hope in God. And then thirdly, my hope, if anything happened today, is there's a great verse in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 12, that speaks of how the enemy of our soul is defeated, Satan. The verse says something along the lines of Satan is defeated by two things. One, the blood of Jesus, meaning when Jesus died on the cross and gave up his life for us, his death meant the death of all that was evil, and Satan and his minions, Satan and his demons and all of evil was conquered once and for all by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And Satan is defeated by the word of our testimony. There is something powerful when we give glory to God in our life story of transformation. So, behind me, I have three volunteers, that we want to hear a little bit of their story. And you can be sure, just like you would be if you were up here, they're just a little bit nervous because there's something about standing and sitting in front of people and public speaking that's a little bit unnerving. So I have, behind me, I have Lorraine Cristofanetti, I have Adam Zabinski, and yes, I spelt his name wrong. It's Zabinski. Replace the I with the E and add an E at the end. Sorry about that, Adam. And Melissa Tamlin. Before they get too rattled, will you join me in giving them a big hand for just being brave enough to be up here? So the way we've kind of structured in our lighting, it's a little bit, I'm going to try to get in the light here. The way we've tried to do this morning is we recognize that we have a finite amount of time to be together. So I have given every one of these friends 7 minutes to tell their story. Now, if they're really nervous, it might be done in 30 seconds, and we're going to sit in 6.5 minutes of awkward silence until they're done. This is my attempt at trying to be like Dr. Phil, okay? And I'm not Pastor Phil right now. Now I'm Dr. Phil. Welcome to my TV show, and we're going to interview these folks. Lorraine, you shared a story with me about 2 weeks ago when we talked on the phone. How are you?
Good.
Are you nervous?
Titch.
Titch? Okay, good. I love the fact that you're a redhead today. Welcome to the Redhead Club. The world needs more gingers. This is great. This is great. You met with Pastor, I think, Jeff at some point, and you've talked with Margot in its staff meeting. Your name came up, and we celebrated as a staff what we heard about what God has been doing in your life. And I've known you only for a few months. I've known your husband, Chuck, for many years, and I think you deserve a medal just for remaining married to that guy for as long as I know him. We just can close in prayer with that thought, but... why don't you tell your story? I know we've nothing scripted, nothing written down. By choice, we wanted you just to let your heart overflow and just talk in that microphone. Tell us a little bit about this year and the change and the transformation that you feel that God has put in your life.
Okay, well, I need to back up a little bit before this year. A little bit of background. I grew up in an abusive home. Had many struggles with mental issues and flowed over into my teen years. Never a good home, but I hid it all because I everybody else, you should have a nice home and nice parents and so forth. But going forward, I got married, had kids, and my children, I don't think they would mind me saying, my oldest was diagnosed with autism and my youngest was diagnosed with bipolar. And my hubby has ADHD. So our house was different, not typical. And at 30, just over 30, I had a major breakdown myself and was diagnosed with a mental illness. I have borderline personality disorder and had many years of just basically just clinging on to life. And although the Lord was there, I just felt really, really lost, was suicidal at time, was in and out of the psychiatric ward in the hospital on lots of medication. And the day came where the medication sort of was doing its job and I could carry on with life. But the medication was heavy duty and it dumbed down my life. And I've tried to go off that medication, but never could because my system got all messed up again. It just wasn't going to work. But about a year and a half ago, I decided to try again. I have a psychiatrist who was great and was willing to work with me. And I started this slow process of coming off this medication. And things started to get brighter. I felt better. I felt more in touch with the Lord. I felt more in touch with my husband and my kids. Before I would sleep my days away because I didn't want to face life. But here, moving forward, I'm getting up at 6:30 every morning. I'm going for a 4-kilometer hike. I, lost over 40 pounds. I got in touch with the Lord every single day. Every single day, he was part of my life. It was so awesome, and people started to see the change in me. And I moved forward. Now this year, still moving forward, spring came, and I started to have a little bump in the road, and it became a major bump in the road. And things started to slide again. And I have a very good friend who put me in touch with Dennis and Diane Unra, who do restoring the foundations. And this friend almost dragged me kicking and screaming to meet with them, but I met with them. And on June 12th, 2019, is a day I'll never forget, I had a session with them, and I walked out of their home. Maybe I'll back up a little bit. If you don't know what restoring the foundations is, it's a whole new life. And you work on, sins of the father and resulting curses, ungodly beliefs, soul, spirit hurts, and demonic oppression in your life. And
so light, easy stuff, in other words.
Yeah. But I came out of that session with them, Pastor Phil, and my life was transformed.
And that was June 12th.
June 12th. I'll never forget it. June 12th. My life was transformed. I forgave my parents for what I went through. I forgave myself. The healing and the freedom was just awesome. And I've been on a high ever since. I just keep going up and up and up. I can't stop. It's just amazing.
let's give her a hand. That's great.
Are they here, Diane and Dennis? Do you see them?
They're not here today, okay. But they sent me a message. Yeah, Dennis and Diane sent me a message. They couldn't be here today, but
good. It'd be nice to honor them.
And, yes, absolutely.
They lead a ministry that I know some of us in our church are very familiar with, but I am facetious when I say it's light and easy, meaning it's the exact opposite. It goes deep into the things in your life where a lot of times the enemy has gotten a grip on our lives, has tried to choke the life out of us, and it's breaking those chains, the bondages, and setting us free. And what you've just described is you are, oh,
Oh,
I guess I have to stop talking now. There goes my timer.
Can I say one more thing?
No, Lorraine. Okay. All right. No, just so you know, I got a 5-minute timer here.
Oh,
so when the timer goes
minutes.
Off, it's my way of saying, okay, we've got a few minutes grace. So yes, you have time. Okay. I just got to figure out how to turn my timer off.
I just want to say coming full circle from where I was to where I am now, I now am I'm a really strong person now, and the Lord has laid on my heart going forward to reach out to other people who may have mental illness in their life or know someone with mental illness in their life that I, you know, may pray with them, may go for coffee with them, may help them access services, be an advocate for them. I'm just open to helping now. Yeah.
That's so great. And what I love about this is that I've only known you in the last 5 months since our family's moved here. So I only know you post June the 12th. Mm-hmm. I remember meeting you and Chuck at the back there, really, you know, quick hello and all of that. And I know that you are also one of our greeters in the lobby.
Yes, I'm a greeter now.
and I think that's the part of your story that I find fascinating. So someone who has struggled with all that you've struggled with, it would be very understandable that you would be reclusive, that you would want to avoid people, that you'd prefer solitude and to be alone as much as possible so that you could wrestle with what you wrestle with as often as possible. But the transformation is so great, and I think this is what we as a staff are talking about, staff meeting, going, this same person is not that same person that now not only has God broken those things and set you free and healed you of this, but you are also now one of our greeters, greeting people, going out of your way to say, welcome to church. And you've become from reclusive to a people person because of the change and transformation that God's done in your life.
Absolutely.
And this is your story. Let's give Lorraine a big hand. Isn't that great? Thank you. Great job. We appreciate that. So good. Now you can breathe a big sigh of relief going, okay, now it's on to victim number two. So great. Adam, we just met for really the first time this morning. You came early and we had a chance to shake hands. And thanks for being here this morning. Pastor Ben put you onto me. We found each other through him. And in our staff meeting, when we talked about what we were hoping to accomplish with this service today, Pastor Ben said, you know, I think the church needs to hear, or if you've heard his story before, be reminded of your story of transformation. Because let's just be reminded that that's what really the Christian life is all about. It's not making good people gooder. We're not here to be nicer people. We're here to be transformed. That's what Jesus does in our lives. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He cleans us from the inside out. And so none of these people, none of us are going to claim that we are perfect. We're holier than thou. We are all so aware of the things that we struggle with. But it's good to be reminded of the stories of this is who I was. And then this is what Jesus has done in my life. And here's who I am today. I'm going that direction, not this direction. So let's give Adam a big hand. Welcome, Adam. All right.
Thanks, Phil.
Are you ready for this?
No, but let's do it anyways.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you?
Actually, not as bad as I thought I'd be.
Okay, right, that's good. Yeah. Good.
I'm up here now. I can't run.
I hope you feel at ease. And really, this is our spiritual family, so you're in that together. I'm going to hit start. And where do you want to begin telling your story, Adam? Because there's many layers to your story.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to edit out quite a bit of it. I could be here all day.
Yeah.
But a lot of people in this church have been on the journey with me, so it's kind of nice to be able to tell my story up here. And I think I'll go back to the winter of 2016 is really one of the darkest moments in my entire life. And Pastor Ben really had a huge role in helping me get out of that and find some way to bring God into my life. But I was, to make a long story short, I spent 20 years as a raging alcoholic, and I ended up homeless that winter. And I was in Peachland at the time, and I was sleeping with the bears up the mountain behind behind Peachland. And I remember waking up one morning, and the frostbite was starting to set in, and I realized I was in serious trouble. After I don't even remember how long I spent sleeping outside, but it was probably a couple of weeks. It was really cold that winter too, and I remember just thinking I have to go get some help. And I went down to Kelowna because I'd heard about the shelter there, and I went to go check it out. And I just remember just being overcome with fear, And I didn't even make it within 100 feet of the shelter down on Leon. And I just this fear, just too many people around, and just like the just seeing all the suffering. And I just felt just that there was no help for me there. It was just, it just seemed too much. So I pretty much gave up at that point. And I really didn't grow up in a home that had any kind of spiritual connection or any connection to God. We didn't go to church. It just wasn't a part of our family. It was something that I'd never learned anything about. So I remember going back to the bus loop, and I was going to go back to Peachland, basically to go curl up and die. That was basically where I was at in my life. I had given up completely. So into the alcohol and dealing with other things that I didn't know about, like mental problems, like addiction, anxiety and depression setting in that all accompany heavy addiction. And I remember sitting at the bus loop, and this woman came up to me, and she didn't ask me. She told me. She says, "You need a place to stay." And I just, okay. And she gave me very explicit directions of where to go, what door to knock on, and where to go to get some help. And at the time, I wasn't attending church, never had attended church, didn't really want that in my life at that time for whatever reason. And it was funny because she never mentioned that she was sending me to a church, because I might not have gone. She just said, this is where you go to get help. And so I did, and ended up not having to sleep on the streets that night. And it was actually this church that I came to. It was they were doing the shelter program here. They had a small program at the time. There was, I think, 10 beds. I ended up sleeping in this very building, actually. And I remember waking up in the morning, and I started to get to know some people. Met Pastor Ben, and got invited to my first church service. And really, that's where my journey into faith began, was right here in this building. Actually, was sleeping just outside those doors. So
and this is just 3 years ago.
Yeah, that was the winter of 2016, so the beginning of 2017. So I ended up staying here over that winter, and just really meeting so many amazing people, and just kind of learning how to relate to them and stuff. It basically helped start pulling me out of the depression. And it was the first time I actually had put the bottle down in about 20 years, was the 3 months that I slept in this building. And so come springtime, the shelter closed because it's a winter-only kind of thing. So I spent that summer kind of going odd jobs here and there. I was working part-time, and but I never really addressed the alcohol problem, so I slipped back into it. And it was the next winter I really succumbed to it quite badly, and actually ended up hospitalized. And Pastor Ben popped back into my life and told me about this amazing recovery center that we have in Kelowna called Freedom's Door. And once again, he didn't ask me, he told me. I remember waking up in the hospital, and he had the paperwork for Freedom's Door, and he said, "This is where you're going." And I've been there ever since. That was 2 years ago. And I'm now sober for 2 years. And and just really enjoying the whole experience. And it's a Christian community at the recovery center, and I'm learning so much about how to open my mind and my heart and invite Jesus into my world. And it's definitely a journey I'm still working on, but it's just incredible. And now I'm actually in college at Okanagan College, taking electronics engineering. With the guidance through all the people around me doing God's work, I got all my high school stuff done this summer, and I just finished actually my first semester. I'm going to do 2 years at the college and go on to do three more at the university, probably.
That's just great. Well, congratulations. Awesome. And you're within time. We were joking earlier that Adam, he says, "I'm a bit of a talker, so you want to keep me on the clock here." So You did a great job. One quick question, only because debriefing with you earlier. What was it like going from when you stayed at our shelter, someone invited you into the service, and you said you woke up and you didn't even realize that we were a church.
Yeah.
What was your first impression of this when you came here? I'd be interested in knowing.
Just like the overwhelming welcome and friendliness that I felt. Like, I got to meet so many amazing people. I can actually, during the whole rough period where I was learning recovery and before I'd actually got into the treatment center, there's actually two different members of this church that welcomed me into their homes at different points, okay. Even though I was a struggling alcoholic. So I just met amazing people.
So, I mean, one of the things that I think we all get frustrated hearing is the church is full of hypocrites. And I come here and I'm reminded of what a sinful, bad person I am. You would say, no, that was not my experience at all. In fact, it was the exact opposite, meaning I felt welcome. I felt loved. I didn't feel judged, condemned, anything, but at any stage of the service, from people in the lobby, from the service, from the pastor, the worship, you felt like this is a place that you were welcomed.
Yeah, and now I've got several pastors from this church on my speed dial on my phone when I need advice. Yeah. It's kind of what
just direct them all to Ben. Just go to Ben.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't gotten to know you yet.
Of course, that's great. In there. Well, I tell you what, I think we should be proud of that. I'm just so glad that we're a church that people who are in some of the greatest struggles of their lives can come here, and instead of feeling judged by a room full of apparent hypocrites, instead saying, come worship, be with us, a welcoming church. That's the kind of church I want to be at. That's awesome. Let's give Adam a big hand. Thank you. So good. So good. All right, victim number three, Melissa, how are you?
Walking on water.
Uh-huh. On a scale of 1 to 10, how nervous are you right now?
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Trying not to think about it.
So we're new friends as well. So I had a chance to get to know Lorraine a couple months ago. We talked to Adam and I just a few week or two ago. And you came into the office and I had a chance to meet you in person. And, you know, it was supposed to be a very quick, so tell me a little bit about your story. And I think about an hour later, it was, wow, God has done a lot of work in your life. And so I think what I love about your story, Melissa, is that your story was unexpected. You didn't expect. It's almost like God's kindness blindsided you a little bit, going, this is not what I thought I was going to wake up to. And the journey the last couple months is pretty unique to you, as it is for all of us. Where do you want to begin telling your story? And I'll start the timer here.
I think my journey has a lot to do with God's love. And growing up, I didn't feel love or what love looked like. Like in my family, I didn't see the typical or what love should be. And growing up, it was really difficult for me because I didn't understand social cues and situations, so I struggled a lot. I was a very vulnerable person, and I got hurt a lot throughout my years.
Did you grow up in the Okanagan? Like, are you from
here? Yeah, okay. I grew up in Summerland. My grandpa was the principal of the high school out in Summerland years and years ago, so we were locals there. But still, I always felt really isolated, even within my family. I felt really alone. And I remember at the age of 10, I was just like God's not real and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, nope. And I used to get a lot of input of messages, and it was too much at one point. So then I was just like, I just want to shut this all off, because it brought me a lot of stress, because the more of God's gifts that I was to receive, then I got a lot of input from the other side. And as a child, I didn't understand it.
So at a young age, you already began to feel, in a sense, a spiritual battle over your life.
Yeah.
Both from God trying to reach out to you, but also from the evil side of life trying to draw you into the darkness.
Yes.
We'll word it that way.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Sure.
And then throughout my years, I always had this chatter in my head. And it would tell me that I was worthless and that I was no good and that people were looking at me or just whatever. It was just constant, like back and forth, like the angel on this side and the devil on this side, right?
So and for you, that's not a Bugs Bunny cartoon or something. That was real. You struggled with these thoughts in
your head. I thought everybody had those thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. You thought that was normal.
Yeah. And then I went to a center because I was just overwhelmed and stressed, and I took some time for myself, and my kids went to my parents for a year. And there was a whole lot of other things going on, but I won't get into that. And I remember going to the Bell Church in Surrey. And I was sitting with a bunch of girls, and I was really depressed. I used to take a bunch of medication, similar, just to.
This is Village Church that meets at the Bell Center.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
In Surrey. And I was sitting there, a very, very large church, like three stories and full and loud, loud music. And I was sitting there, everybody singing around me, and I got this message, and it was like, Melissa, you're going to be up on stage sharing your story. And I was like, where did that just come from? 5 years later, here I am.
So it's 5 years ago.
Yeah. And just like, I believe today that God will put people, signs, situations in our past for a reason. There's either a lesson or something that there is to learn. And for me, I needed to learn what love was. Yeah. And throughout my journey, I met my fiance, who everybody in my life was telling me was not a good person, but he in the end brought me to God and showed me what real love was like.
Okay. And how many years ago was that you met him?
I met him 6 years ago, okay. But the enemy was rampant in my life. And I remember God telling me at one point he was trying to apologize to me, and God was telling me he doesn't know how. And I heard that, and I remember that to this day, and I was like, no. And then we broke up. 6 years later, we randomly met on the street, and then another year of him trying to love me. And I remember him praying over me one day because I was in a very low place, and he was like, Melissa, just let me love you. And I could feel the light, like it was like warmth coming in, and like God was trying to speak to me.
So much like Lorraine, since you were a child, we'll call it spiritual bondage. Just chains choking the life out of you. You're on the outside, you're dressed nice, hair, makeup, nice clothes, and you can be friendly when you need to be. So you could put on the front, but inside you were just dying and struggling, not knowing what love was, not knowing how to be accepted, both at home or anywhere else.
Yeah.
It must have felt very dark and lonely for you.
Yeah. It also manifested physically.
Yeah.
It was in and out of the hospitals. I had seizures, blackouts.
Okay.
I had physical pain.
Okay.
The doctors had no reason for it.
So it wasn't just in your mind. Yeah. It just affected your entire being.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just at the very last hair.
I keep interrupting, and I'm just trying to help you with your story. I just find it neat that you were never a Christian or called yourself a Christian or thought yourself a Christian. And yet you can point to moments of where God was trying to woo you and trying to draw you and trying to speak to you.
Well, I went to catechism as a child, but I had ADD as well. And so they would just be like, wah, 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 wah. And I never got the concept, right? Yeah. It was just everybody's always mad at each other and don't do this and don't do that. And it was like a lot more fear-based and not love-based, which is kind of what I needed.
The timer just went off.
Yeah, sorry. I'll get to the main part.
No, I mean, really, I really don't want you to feel shut down at all. But I know the story that we want to tell is the story that we want to tell. Why didn't you go there?
Okay, that's where I'll get to. So that brought me to God, what my boyfriend did. He put Jesus into my heart, and with the help of his mother as well. And I wanted to go to a Bible study. I wanted to learn more about Jesus because I was hungry for the word and thirsty for the love. And it brought me here. And the day before, I had a nap, and I had this dream, and I had a vision in my dream of I was going through these hallways, and there was two doors on my right, and it looked to me like a classroom or like a hospital or something like that where they had lots and lots of rooms. So I go into the room on my right, and there's these desks, and they're all in a row and separated. And every row of desks that I went over, I got a trinket, and it was like a video game, and I got like a token or something when I learned the lesson and got over the row of desks. And I kept getting my foot caught in the desks. And then I looked up, and I see this milk crate on the last row of desks, and there's all these like bad things in there, like money or like a lighter or alcohol or whatever that I was trying to use these tools to save my boyfriend in my mind. And then I looked up again, there's a piano and there's this creepy guy sitting there and he's like, you're never gonna find him. There is another doorway. I see the door I'm trying to get to.
So just hold on. So there was a creepy guy that said you're never going to find them.
Yeah.
It was that distinct in your dream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I saw the door I was trying to get to and it flung all the way back. And then my foot was stuck in the chair and then I woke up. And then so then I was like, oh, okay. So these are the tools that I was trying to use to save my boyfriend and I can't save my boyfriend. God's got to do that. That was the message that I got from that dream. A few minutes later, he calls me and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I just had a dream. And he's like, I heard a whisper that you're going room to room. And I'm like, what? That I was going room to room where he was. And I was like, oh, I'm not there. So that's kind of interesting. And I thought it was really interesting how the enemy will use factual information to validate lies in other people's minds to try and destroy relationships. The next day, I went to CBS for the first time, which is in this building, and it was the exact same room.
For those of us who are new, CBS stands for?
Community Bible Study.
Okay.
Yeah, that's upstairs here in the church, and I had only been in this church one time. It was the exact same room.
On Wednesday mornings?
Yes.
From 9:30 to 11:30.
Yes.
This show is sponsored by CBS. We want to thank them for their support.
And it was really interesting because when I walked in there, I'd never been there, and I was like, this is the exact same room from my dream. But yeah, same hallway, same room, everything. The only difference was is the piano was on a different opposite side of the wall. And the chairs were in a circle instead of in rows. And at the very end of it, because I was still kind of like, this is different. What's going to happen next? And then Celia, the facilitator, pulls out a milk crate at the end of the Bible study, and then she pulls out a lantern and says something like, the word of God will light your feet, like your path to your feet, and then pulls out a plate. The word of God will fill you up, kind of thing. And then a hammer, the word of God will break through rock. And that was just like, what?
That specific and that literal to what was in your dream.
Yeah, the next day.
If it was only two of the three, it would have been, oh, okay, that's kind of freaky. But it was three for three out of a milk crate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you walked up the stairs and walked up into where our classrooms are, like, were you kind of feeling a little freaked out at the time? Were you,
getting, I was just
like hairs on the back of your neck kind
of? After this last year, I was like, I'm just going with it. Because every little thing that God's said, like, okay, go here, or just like that sense of like what is good and what is loving, it has brought me to the right place, even though it's not something that I've expected.
Yeah.
So, and like one thing I forgot to mention is that that chatter in my head the day I committed my heart to Jesus stopped.
Yeah.
Like overnight.
Wow.
I don't take medication anymore. I don't need any of that stuff. Like I'm happy. I can deal with things. Yeah. Everything is good. It's getting better. Like people have to check my ID because they don't think I am the same person.
It's that much of a transformation for you. See, I only know you as I've known you in the last week or two that we've met each other.
Mm-hmm.
But people are that slow to recognize you because physically – again, this is just another great part of her story that needs to be said. The transformation has been so great internally with God, how God has changed and healed your heart, that physically you look like a different person.
Mm-hmm. Well, like the heavens are opening up. And for years, the doctors told me that the condition I had was all in my head. And it turns out that I was eating like 15 different foods that I was allergic to. And like I was like puffed up like a balloon and in pain for 34 years. And finally found that out, and now I feel good. I'm back at work. I'm working in security. It's all really good. Nothing I expected.
And you're sitting on a stage with a microphone in your hand, and you're telling your story like God whispered into your ear 5 years ago at Village Church in Surrey. That's pretty awesome. Let's give God a big hand, and let's give Melissa a big hand. That's it. You did it, guys. Well done. Thank you so much. Why don't you slip back to your seats? Let's thank them one more time for just being so brave. We honor you guys for telling your story. So great. Isn't that fantastic? So good. So nice to be able to hear your stories. I've got a sermon I want to preach for another 45 minutes. I hope you don't have any lunch plans today. Not at all. No, the truth is, let me just have a few wrap-up thoughts before we conclude, and then we'll close with a song. But honestly, Lorraine and Adam and Melissa, thank you for telling your story. We want to do more of this as a church. We feel that this is something that encourages and builds one another up. A couple of thoughts that I want to challenge you with. So now that you've heard their story, I want to consider our story together as well. I want you to know that if you're here today, and if you're not a Christian, this is a thought that we believe the Bible teaches, and this is what we believe about all of humanity, and this is the first thought I want to put in our thoughts today, is number one is that we believe that God is actively at work in all of our lives, all day, every day. And I want you to understand that this isn't just for us in this room. This is true of every single human being on planet Earth. You could be a farmer in Nicaragua. You could be a tech worker in Sweden. You could be a Dutch windmill repairman. And God is at work in every single person's life. Through the power of His Holy Spirit, He is wanting to interact with every one of His creation. And just for fun, I thought I'd just make a list of what God is hoping to do in all of our lives. This is what God is trying to do in your life and in my life. Ready? God is wanting to, He's helping. He is providing. He's protecting. He is teaching. He is filling. He is guiding. He is rebuking. He is comforting. God is directing. God is nudging. He is preparing you. He is prodding me. He is convicting. He is encouraging. God, through His Holy Spirit, is calling you. He is empowering us. He is disciplining me. He is strengthening, blessing. He is opening doors. The Holy Spirit is closing doors in your life. He is pursuing you. He is counseling me. He is interceding for us. He is transforming, and He is revealing. And that was my short list. Number two, God is doing all or some of these things in your life right now. And by now, I don't mean over this Christmas season. I mean, like right now, like at 11:05 a.m. on December the 29th, God is trying to do some of these things in your life right now and in my life right now. So if things were reversed and we didn't have these folks up at this chair, but we had the opportunity to bring you onto these chairs, let me ask you this question. What is your story? What is your story of God's activity in your life? Now, it may not be as dramatic as some of the stories that we heard today, but if we believe that what the Bible teaches is true, then we have to believe that God is active in all of our lives. So what, my friend, is your story? The way I see it, there would be three responses to that question. The first one would be this. You could say, yes, number one, I can easily point to moments of God intervening in my life on a regular basis. It might be through reading your Bible. It might be praying. It might just be for acknowledging God's presence in everyday life, but it may be daily, or it may be every couple days, or it may be once a week where you can say, I can see the hand of God in my life. I can see how God has intervened, how He has helped, provided, protected, taught, filled, guided, rebuked, comforted, and so forth. I can see the hand of God in my life. That's option number one, and that might be something that you could subscribe to. Number two, you might say in response to the question, what is your story? You might say, well, Phil, it's been a while since I've been able to see God at work in my life. And that might be true of many of us in this room. It's been a while. I'm not saying that God isn't at work. I'm not saying that God hasn't been at work. But it's been a while since since I've been able to recognize God's work in my life. Well, we can go two ways with just this statement here, both positively and negatively. Let me start with the good. Number one, maybe it's because God is hiding from you. Maybe God is playing hide and go seek with you, and that's a good thing. Meaning, God is wanting you to pursue Him. God is wanting to draw you out of yourself and say, come and find me. Come and experience all the riches and the wealth that I have available for you. I like what Matthew chapter 5 says in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The only way that we get hungry is by not eating. And the only way we get thirsty is by not drinking or exercising or whatever. We're thirsty. It's like, I need something to drink. I need to get myself a glass of water. I am starving. I need some food. And we go after. We are pursuing water. We are pursuing food. Maybe God is hiding himself from you so that you might kickstart your spiritual life again and say, I am going after the heart of God one more time. And that's a good thing. Because God only hides so that he might be found. Or we go to the flip side of that, and this is the negative side of the expression. It's been a while since I've been able to see God at work in my life, and maybe that's because you've gone spiritually AWOL, absent without leave. Maybe you would say, God is active in my life, but honestly, the state of my spiritual heart right now is I am simply not aware of how God might be active in my life. And what that would mean is perhaps you consider yourself to be a Christian, but in all fairness and in all honesty, if we were to pin you to the ground and to try to squirm an answer out of you, you would say, I am really doing life on my own strength. I'm really doing life on my own wisdom and my own decision-making power. I consider myself to be a Christian, but in truth, my relationship with Jesus is essentially nominal. And so God is trying to help and provide and protect and teach and fill and guide and rebuke and comfort and direct. But essentially what we are saying with our lives in number two is, God, I'm all good. I'm all good. I'll come to you when I need you. But right now this is on me and I'm in the driver's seat of my own life. And perhaps that's you today in number two. Number three is you might say, I had absolutely no idea that God was at work in my life. Again, I'm recognizing a crowd this size. You may be here, you're not a Christian, you've thought about God, you may not believe in God, you're not sure if there's a God. You've heard some of these stories, and you might go, that's interesting and inspiring, but I don't know where I stand in all of this. Well, we really do believe that the Bible's true. And we really do believe that the Bible teaches that God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, wants to interact with every single human being on planet Earth, including you. And there's a great scripture verse that's found also in the book of Revelation, which is the last book of the Bible. It says this, and it's just a great metaphor, and it's a great way to conclude our service this morning, where Jesus stands metaphorically, says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And it's a wonderful metaphor because perhaps you've heard the expression that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, meaning God is not going to kick down the door of your heart and barge into your life uninvited. But God is going to stand at the door of your heart and your heart and your heart and your heart and my heart, and he's going to knock. He's going to say, would you let me into your life? And we have two choices. One, we can ignore that knock, just turn up the music in our life, turn up the TV in our hearts. And you need to know that we can try to drown God out, but he will not be stopped. He's very relentless in his love for his creation. We sang a song earlier today, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Why do we say reckless? It's a strong word for the fact that God is persistent in wanting you to know his love for you. He will never stop knocking, and that's what we try to do. We try to turn up the music in our lives to drown out that knock of God's knock on our door. We try to find it in education. We try to find it in relationships. We try to find it in busyness at work. We try to find it in substances. We try to find it in so many things. And yet the persistent love of God has him knocking at heart saying, will you have a relationship with me? Will you let me take your sins away from you and replace it with a new heart and a new life? The other response that we have to that knocking is to, well, you probably see where I'm going with this, is to actually open up the door and say, God, would you come into my life? One of the great promises in the Bible is that God says, I will take your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Isn't that a great metaphor? Because some of you today, some of us might be saying, on the outside, hair and makeup and nice clothes, and I can smile and shake hands with the best of them. But inside, I am dead. My heart is like stone, and I am not experiencing life. I am enduring day to day, but I don't know peace, and I don't know joy. And like Melissa says, and I don't know love. In just a few moments, we want to give you an opportunity today. If you have never made that decision to open up the door and say, God, I want you to come into my life, you have the chance to end 2019 by saying, God, I want to start off with a new life. I want to go into 2020 with a new heart and a new relationship with you. And you have to understand that when I will give you that invitation, I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're not going to get your social insurance number. We're not going to put you on a mailing list. Nothing like that. But I believe even right now as I'm speaking, the Holy Spirit is stirring some of your hearts and you are feeling something that perhaps you didn't expect to feel today, going, there is something happening inside of me. And that is God's Holy Spirit trying to prompt you to say, I've been knocking on the door of your heart. Would you turn the music down low enough and open the door and let me forgive you of your sins and let me give you a new life? So let's bow our heads and let's pray. I'm going to give you a simple invitation. And as I do, I'm going to ask the worship team if they make their way to the stage, and we're going to close with a song in just a moment. But let's pray. Dear God, I pray this prayer on behalf of every person in this room. And first of all, I begin by saying, Lord, thank you for your work in Lorraine's life and Adam's life and Melissa's life. Thank you that you're not just a God who is so far up in the heavens, so distant and far removed from our lives that you look down upon us and every once in a while you throw us a bone. But no, God, you are actively involved in our lives, and you can save, and you can rescue, and you can heal, and you can transform, and you can do these things. And this is their story, and God, we have our stories. And Lord, I begin just by saying, God, in my story, would you be glorified? Let my story encourage somebody. Let my story not stay quiet, not stay silent. Let the work that you have done in my life not just remain with me, but may it point people to Jesus. And Lord, I pray for anyone in this room that would say, God, I am far from you and I know it. And I've been pretending or I have intentionally kept myself far from you. But today, I recognize that your Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of my life and I want to forgive my sins. I want to have a taste of what it's like to experience real love and real joy and real hope. I want to exchange my heart of stone for a heart of flesh. And God, I don't even know fully what I'm even saying, but I know that I've come to the end of my rope, and I want to put my hope and my trust in you. Would you come into my life, forgive my sins, and set me free, and set me on a new path, on a new journey, where you are in the driver's seat of my life instead of myself? And just in the very privacy of this moment, and I would ask church that you just respect this with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm just going to scan across our congregation really quick. If you're praying that prayer and mean it with all of your heart right now, would you just quickly raise up your hand so I can see it and then you can put it down. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. You can put it down. And thank you at the back. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Is there anyone else? Just pause for another second or two saying, I'm tired of the life that I'm living where I'm in the driver's seat and I want to give my life to Jesus today. Heavenly Father, I thank you that these three honest people have acknowledged this change and transformation they want in their lives. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, would you flood their hearts with peace, love, and joy? We sing about it during the Christmas season, but so few of us actually experience it. I pray that you would turn their hearts of stone into a heart of flesh. And even if you are here today and you are too nervous to raise your hand, or perhaps you didn't trust me and you weren't sure what was going to happen next, but if you pray that prayer and you believe it with your heart, we believe that everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen.